Well, good morning. Can you beat it? Today is the last day of the month of June. Oh my goodness, unbelievable how the months just fly by. You know what I was thinking? 3.5 months ago, I learned about the coronavirus, and I had to cancel our senior Bible study at church. I happened to be the teacher, so I'm kind of responsible for when it meets and everything. And I'm still pretty much housebound yet because, I don't know, I guess the kids keep saying, not yet, Mother, not yet. But I come to the WWIB studios just to be with you. Hopefully, I'll be able to attend church services for the first time this next Sunday, and I'm so excited. I can hardly wait. Let me think about it. What's your story? Why don't you write and let us know what you're thinking, what you've been through, and how the coronavirus has affected you? And I'm praying that you don't have it. Well, on my last broadcast, I visited with you on knowing God as our Father. We just went through Father's Day, and I thought that would be apropos for now. So I asked the question, how does God express his fatherhood toward us? So I came up with these things. God desires an intimate relationship with us. He does, and we can do that through prayer. And God desires to communicate with us. And that means he wants us to listen. Yes, he wants to talk to us. But so many times we're so busy we don't listen. And then God loves each of us unconditionally. How can you ever beat that one? And then God has promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And he always will be there for us. He said, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. And then God loves so much us that he disciplines us. Ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? But don't we learn from it? And then God will always guide us to do the right thing. Yes, if we just follow his instructions. So as I was preparing that message, I thought, I want to ask you, what is your idea of God? So please stay tuned and let me visit with you concerning this topic. What is your idea of God? If you should be a broadcaster and you were interviewing people on the street, you would find all kinds of opinions about God. In fact, you could find out quickly what the people's idea, and that it would probably change with each individual. Some people would say, well, I think he's the man upstairs. Or maybe they would say, he's grandfather. Or maybe they'd say, he's a big guy. Oh, the one you call on in emergencies. Maybe they'd come up with that one. I'm sure that you have heard many, many more. And you're thinking right now, let me see. Having been put out of the workplace, you know what? You can hear all kinds of things and ideas. Well, the fact is, there is no way we can really describe him. The Bible gives us wonderful descriptions of who he is, of what he has done, and what he can do, and what he will do in the future. It talks about his majesty, his awesomeness, and how great he is. I remember one of my great grandchildren would always say, Grandma, God is awesome. And I'd say, amen, you are so right. Well, let me give you three verses that I pulled out of the scriptures to maybe give you some insight on who God is. The Lord reigneth, and he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, so he has all strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. So he set the world, hasn't he, just in place. And then 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we have not followed cunning, devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In this verse tells us he has all power and he is majesty. How about Hebrews 1:1, 2, and 3? Listen to this one. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Think of it. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Such beautiful verses to describe our Lord. The concept of the non-believer is not what he is, or but what he does or does not do. Their idea is based from an earthly standpoint and not on what the Bible says about him. Therefore, they do not have the truth. So many times when I've been privileged to talk with an atheist about the Lord, they've tried to challenge me about God, and this is what I say. I have three things to say to you before I'll discuss anything. First of all, I love and care about you, and so does Jesus. Secondly, I will not argue. And third, if I cannot refer to the Bible truths, then we might as well not visit together, for that is my source of information. And I would be so glad to show you what I've learned for myself from reading the scriptures. Here's the clue. If they're truly interested in wanting to know all about the Lord, they will be willing to allow me to show the Bible references. And if they just want to argue, then they will probably say, I'm not interested. You can always end the conversation by giving your own personal testimony and using scriptures in its contents. How about that? Remember, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and the Lord also promises that it will not return void. I claim that verse before I go on the air and ask Jesus to do just that. Well, later on in life, that atheist will remember those verses and hopefully be convicted. To be fair, we need to examine the scriptures and see what it has to say so that we can be ready with an answer of the hope that is within us. What does God say that he is? Well, the Holy Spirit answers this question so beautifully in chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah. Let me read. My Bible's open in front of me. And let me read what it has to say. I'll start with verse 18. To whom then will you like unto God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens, it is he that stretcheth the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Think of it. That brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, says the Holy One, our God? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, he who has created these things, that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. Have you not known? Haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't faint, neither does he ever grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Yes, he gives power to the faint and to them that have no strength. He gives them strength. But those, and I love this verse, and perhaps you know it also, those who wait for the Lord, that is, expect or look for or hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, or even become tired. Isn't that beautiful? And how Isaiah presented that to each one of us, to know what a great Heavenly Father we know and love. And he's telling us what he's really like. So I thought to finalize this portion of scripture would be to share with you some of the attributes of our Heavenly Father and to prove to you that, yes, he is so awesome. Number one, I wanted you to know that God is a person. He's not an invisible force. He's not an it, as so many evolutionists declare. God created you and me in his own image. That's what he's like. He has emotions such as love, compassion, understanding, patience. Oh my goodness, I could go on and on and on. The other night, as I was having my devotions, I was thinking about who the Lord is to me. And I thought about that verse verse in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And I got to thinking, how many one words could you put behind the Lord is my? So I sat and I thought, and you know, by the time I finished thinking of what God really is to me, I had finished with 57 words, like the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my buckler, the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my refuge. Well, I couldn't believe that I could come up with that many words of what the Lord is to me. Have you ever thought of that? He's so wonderful. Yes, he is a person. And he wants to bless you, and he wants to bless me. And remember, he made Adam and Eve in his own likeness. Exodus 20:1-6 tells us about his personality. If you have time today, why don't you sit down and read those 6 verses, and it will tell you about what he really is like. And truly, he wants to have a close relationship with you and me. And he doesn't want us to worship anything else or anyone else. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So yes, God is not only a person, but he is a spirit. And oh dear, I'm out of time. Could I continue on my next broadcast? I'd be so glad to share with you. I love him today, and I hope you do too. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.